Hello, Cross City. It's good to see you. It's always an honor to be able to fill in for our senior pastor, David. And this weekend, especially as we're thinking about Pastor Dean and the fact that he is now with Jesus, I was personally impacted so much by Dean as someone who was an encourager to me, a person who was relentless, and he loved people. I believe if Dean was here, he would be telling me to tell you that we're living in uncertain times, but you can be certain of this, that God loves you and wants to spend forever with you in heaven. And so if you have not come to a place in your life where you have personally received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity right now. What you need to do is you just need to simply repeat after me, Jesus, I want you to save me from my sins. I've sinned. I need a Savior. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my forgiver? I want to spend forever with you. Jesus, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And right here and right now, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. If you've made that decision, we want to celebrate the fact that that is the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. And what I want you to do is I want you to email me if you've made this decision for the very first time. My email is brent@mycrosscity.com. We want you to know that we're going to be sending you information on how you can continue to grow as a follower of Jesus. We'd love to come alongside of you. We'd love to schedule an opportunity for you to go public in that decision through baptism. We'd love for you to share with other people the decision that you've made. Though that we're living in uncertain times, you are certain of the fact that God loves you, has a plan for your life, and that means living with him forever. I'm going to continue the teaching series called The Impact of the Cross right now. Pastor David last weekend kicked it off, and during this series, we're looking at the cross, but we're looking at it through the lens of the different people around the cross. Last weekend, Pastor David looked at the soldiers and their indifference. And this weekend, what I'd like to do is I'd like to look at the disciples, the perspective that they had. You know, I think it's pretty safe to say that the disciples, similar to us, have different reactions to the cross. Today, in the world that we're living in as disciples, we know that there's worry everywhere. Some of us are worried. For others of us, we're anxious. We don't even want to turn on the TV or log on to Facebook for what we may see or hear. For some of us as disciples, we're stressed out. Our finances have us concerned. And others of us, we're afraid. We're afraid for ourselves and for our families. What I want you to hear from me is that the emotions of anxiety, stress, fear, and worry, they're valid. But what we choose to do with those emotions is going to be key. When we begin to focus on those and not on the power and the impact of the cross, we get ourselves into trouble. My encouragement is that at the end of this message, that when you are wanting comfort, that you would look to the cross. When you are worried, that you would look to the cross. When you find yourself anxious, that you would find encouragement through the cross. When you find yourself stressed out, you would find counsel in the cross. And finally, when you are fearful, you would find faith and hope in the cross and the cross alone. This weekend, I wanted us to take a look at one text, and we're going to look around at other Bible verses, but there's something pretty powerful that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. Now, the Apostle Paul went on several missionary journeys, and he started a church in Galatia. We have a book called the Book of Galatians. And in the book, he writes these words about the power and the impact of the cross. If you would, follow along with me. As for me, Paul says, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. What we hear from the Apostle Paul is that the cross is powerful. And the impacts of that cross are leaving ripples even to this day that we're experiencing. But if we look back 2,000 years ago, the first disciples, the men that Jesus called to be his followers, his students, his apprentices, they, when they saw the cross, probably weren't encouraged, but rather they found themselves discouraged, devastated, disillusioned, depressed. And so I want to make one big observation today, and that is that the disciples were discouraged. If you're following along with us, that's your first fill in the blank. That is the big idea of this message, is that disciples at times experience the emotion of being discouraged. I think you would be too. 2,000 years ago, if you were a follower of Jesus and you were there watching people say, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," waving palm branches, seeing Jesus enter into the city of David, many people believing that he was going to be a conquering king, that he would be the Messiah, that he would be the one that they had prayed and hoped for. Only to find themselves remembering later that Jesus said, "That would not be my plan." Jesus would die. Now, I want to remind you that Jesus' life was not taken from him, but rather he gave his life. And he even told his disciples that he would die. In the Gospel of Luke, I mean, there's a lot of different places in Scripture, but in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, verse 43 to 45, it says these words, that while everyone was marveling at what Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men." But they, the disciples, did not understand what Jesus meant. I mean, obviously, the disciples missed the very clear message of Jesus. Right around this time, we can see that they're having conversations about who's going to be the most important. Just moments before his crucifixion, the disciples are talking about who's going to sit at his left and his right. It'd be the equivalent of, in a political campaign today, who's going to be the Secretary of State? Who will be an ambassador? Who will be the Vice President? And so as you can imagine, as the disciples looked at Jesus on the cross, they found themselves discouraged. I think about Peter, the bold one, the one that would jump out of a boat, walk on water. Peter, when Jesus said that he needed to die, Peter indignantly said, "No way, I'm never going to let that happen. I'm your bodyguard. I'll be your protector." We see this snapshot in Luke chapter 22. Peter replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison. I will die for you." And Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me not once, but you will deny me three times." It's this kind of confidence that Peter had, where he was absolutely convinced that if he could do anything, he would not allow Jesus to die. Obviously, he forgot the plan that Jesus always had. If you're familiar with Scripture, you know that what Jesus said came true. Come to think about it, whenever Jesus says anything, it's always yes and amen. In verse 62 of that same chapter, it says that Peter wept bitterly because he had denied Jesus three times. Peter, like the other disciples, found himself being discouraged. I mean, you go to Jerusalem today, to the old city, and you'll see a cathedral, and adorning the cathedral will be a symbolic rooster signifying the location where Peter would have denied Jesus. I mean, Peter, like he oftentimes would do, would overpromise and underdeliver. And if we're being honest, that's how some of you feel about your faith today, or maybe even Jesus today. I mean, if you view Jesus as the person who is going to pay all your bills, who will be your rich provider, you'll be discouraged to know that he died homeless and penniless. If you begin to think of Jesus as a person who's going to heal you from your diseases, you'll find yourself right now discouraged to know that Jesus didn't even heal himself when he was on the cross. If you see Jesus as your protector, you might find yourself being discouraged when you'll realize that he was not only unable to protect himself or chose not to, but found himself isolated, apart from everyone. You see, at the moment on the cross, the disciples found themselves discouraged. But now, 2,000 years later, we have a perspective and we can see the impact of the cross that is bigger than our discouragement, our depression, and our doubt. This last week, I was reminded of a Thanksgiving video that Pastor Dean, he shared with us. He said a lot of great things, and if you want to, you can go onto social media, onto our Cross City Instagram account, and you can watch along. But what he said is he says there's so much that we can be thankful for if we'll just slow down and look. And he went on to say, as only Dean could say, and began to list some of the ways that he had been experiencing pain and hurt and suffering. And for those of you who knew Dean, you knew that for the last 5 years, they had been a tough 5 years. But I was personally moved by rewatching the words where Pastor Dean says, "But you know what? I'm not discouraged. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus." And you know, that is the power of the cross. That is the belief that we have as Christians, that God is with us. And so here's the idea that I want you to wrestle with. Because of the impact of the cross, when we experience discouragement here on earth, oh, and we will, we can exchange that discouragement for courage. It can become a conviction. It can become an assurance. It can become a confidence that we have of our faith. When I think of faith, I think of the New Testament book of Hebrews, and where the Hebrew writer basically gives the entire 11th chapter to this fact that we can have this kind of courage. The courage that tells us that God is aware and that he does care and that he is there to heal and to save. It's the kind of courage that tells us that from time to time, God will choose to temporarily heal us here on earth, but there is an eternal healing that waits for us in heaven. It's the kind of courage that we see laced all the way through Scripture. I think about Job, who said these words, that even though I am hurt, I am infirmed, I will trust and hope in the Lord. I think about the courage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego under the oppression of Nebuchadnezzar, who had a fiery furnace. And they would say that we believe in this furnace, in this situation, in this circumstance, that our God will deliver us. But even if he chooses not to, we will only worship the Lord. I think about the Apostle Paul, knowing that he is just moments away from death, writing in the book of Romans, chapter 14. He says, "Whether I live or I die, I will belong to the Lord." When we begin to look at the impact of the cross through the lens of faith, it allows us to take our discouragement that we at times have and exchange it for the courage of Christ. The courage that the Hebrew writer would say, it is a hope, it is an assurance, not only of what we see, but at times of what we don't see. If you're taking notes, another thing that we see in the life of the disciples would be not only discouragement, but we see that they felt at times defeated. Maybe you feel defeated. Maybe you find yourself having experienced being attacked or maybe bullied, even online, persecuted, unsafe, unheard, vulnerable. You would identify as a disciple of Jesus who's feeling defeated. And I just want to remind you that if you're feeling that way, you're in great company. Because Jesus felt defeated as well. I mean, he had his fair share of enemies, whether it was the politics of the religious leaders, or it was the legalism of the Sadducees, or the traditions of the Pharisees, or the educational enlightenment of the teachers of the religious law. These people wanted Jesus gone. I'm reminded of this little passage in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, that says that as Jesus was speaking, one of his very own, Judas, one of his closest friends, would betray him. And he appeared there. With him was a crowd. And Scripture tells us they were armed with swords and clubs. And they were sent from the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders. I mean, Jesus had some real enemies. And we got to love Peter's response. He went to go protect Jesus from his enemies. He pulls out a sword, and Jesus tells him to put his sword down. Because I think Jesus at that time knew that this would not be a battle fought in a traditional way. And these disciples, they were fishermen from Galilee. They were not soldiers from Rome. They posed absolutely no military threat to Rome. If you want to learn more about this, you can watch last weekend's message where Pastor David did a great job of unpacking the indifference of the soldiers around the cross and the brutality of the Roman culture of its time. But it's interesting to look at through the lens of faith the Apostle Paul, who interestingly enough was a Roman citizen. And these are the words that he penned to the church in Corinth in chapter 10, verse 3. He says, "For though we live in the world, we're not going to wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world." The Apostle Paul knew that the weapons that we had were not going to be a military sword, but rather, as he talks about in the book of Ephesians, a spiritual sword. It's the kind of weapon that the prophet Isaiah would talk about in the Old Testament when he would say that there will be no weapon formed against us that will prosper. Because I want you to catch this, if you haven't already, that when we look at the impact of the cross through the lens of our faith, what we have is we have a confidence that overshadows whatever opposition we might be feeling, enemies that we might be taking on. And that could be the enemies of disease, it could become the enemies of doubt, it could even be the enemy of depression that you might be feeling right now. The Hebrew writer went on to say in verse 3 that by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. The Apostle Paul talked about that in the book of Ephesians when he says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but rather against an unseen world. And it'd be very easy just to focus in on the enemies of the religious elite or Rome, but I want to remind you that Rome has now collapsed, but the cross of Christ still stands. And so I'm speaking now to my fellow followers of Jesus. If you feel defeated, I want to remind you that you are more than a conqueror. To my fellow disciples of Christ, if you're feeling defeated, I want to remind you that if God is with you, who or what will ever be against you? For my fellow Christians, I want to remind you that when you are feeling defeated, that your standing in Christ is that you are adopted, you are secure, and you are significant. And yes, we're going to feel emotions of being discouraged. At times, we'll feel defeated. But sometimes it's even going to feel worse than that. You're going to feel absolutely devastated. Would you write that in? That's my last point. That the disciples, like us at times, felt devastated. Can you imagine Jesus hanging on a Roman cross? The feelings like you had pledged your life and your allegiance to Jesus, and yet you were not there. You overpromised, you underdelivered. You'd promised to be faithful, and you bailed. You promised to be devoted, and rather, you deserted. I mean, that's what Scripture tells us in Mark chapter 14, verse 50. Then everyone deserted Jesus and they fled. I believe we've all, in one way or another, deserted Jesus. We've all fled. We've all let Jesus down. Whenever we miss the mark, it's called sin. And it could be similar to the greed of Judas. It could be the indifference. It could be the envy of the religious elite, but it could also be denying, lying, stealing, misleading. I guess what I'm trying to say is that both small and big, those sins were nailed with Christ on that cross. And the weight of these sins was a devastation for the disciples. I mean, they were disappointed in their own personal lack of resolve. They were disillusioned in feeling like not only were they let down by Jesus, but they let Jesus down. And they were depressed. They were discouraged. They felt like dying until it happened. What happened? Well, Jesus was taken from the cross. He's no longer on the cross. He was placed in a grave, and 3 days later, he defeated death. The stone was rolled away, and he appeared to Mary. And then he appeared to the disciples. And then he appeared to multitudes of people. And he shared breakfast with Peter, the one who would deny Jesus three times. Three times Jesus would restore and say, I love you, I forgive you, and I commission you. Guys, I want to remind you that the scriptures tell us that all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Even the disciples of 2,000 years ago and us followers of Christ today, we messed up, but God came through. I want you to catch this, that when we begin to look at the cross and the impact that it's had through the lens of faith, we begin to see that our righteousness in Christ redeems the damage of our sin. The Apostle Paul was trying to clearly communicate this when he said that God made him who had no sin to become sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. We might become right with God, not based on anything that we have done, but what he did on the cross. That when we're feeling like the disciples, depressed, discouraged, devastated, defeated, the work of Jesus on the cross and the empty tomb say, it is finished. It's been paid in full. If Jesus had just stayed on the cross, he would have been just like any other person that died for what they believed. But the Apostle Paul says that it is the resurrection of Christ that confirms that he is our Lord. And so, do you find yourself right now, as you're listening to me, struggling to be discouraged? Can I encourage you to find your courage in the Lord? Do you find yourself right now feeling defeated, feeling deflated, feeling depressed? Can I encourage you to stand in the confident assurance that you have in Christ? Maybe the situations and the circumstances of this life make you feel devastated, and you're beginning to realize how much you have let God down. Can I remind you that when you look to the cross, you see a picture of how much God loves you? As I prepare to close, I want to remind you that it is normal. God has created us to experience emotion, whether it's worry or anxiety, stress or fear. But what we choose to do with those emotions is going to define who we are and what we believe and the depth of our faith. When you're experiencing those and other emotions, I encourage you to acknowledge them and then to gaze on the power of the cross of Christ. Scripture reminds us, Paul in 2 Corinthians, so that we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. My friend, God has created every one of us to live forever somewhere. But only you can choose where that will be for you. You can't choose for your family. You can only choose for you. If you find yourself right now uncertain of where you will spend eternity, if you begin to look around at the uncertainty of life, you begin to look around at all the questions that you have, I want you to hear my voice clearly. And here it is. God loves you. God is aware of what's going on, and he cares about you forever. And if you have not yet surrendered your life, placed your trust, repented from your sins, and turned to the forgiving arms of Christ, I pray that you would do it right here and right now by simply acknowledging to Jesus that you need him to save you from your sins, to forgive you from all unrighteousness, and in so, making you the righteousness of God. Whatever decision you need to make, whether it's a first-time decision, a rededication, or just a prayer of assurance that can be your spiritual next step. We are here to walk with you during this time. If you've made a first-time decision, I want to remind you that you can email me personally, brent@mycrosscity.com. If you want to go public right now and be baptized, you can follow the link on our website and schedule a time to be baptized right away. If you know that you need special prayer, you need help, you need hope, you want to talk with a pastor, then follow those links as well. But as I prepare to close with a final thought, I want to remind you that we can only boast in the cross of Christ. Church, I believe it is at times like this that our character and our resolve are being put on display for a watching world. We have an opportunity to truly be a light, to be salt, to be love. Yes, this is a weird weekend because we're not going to be gathering at a church building, but I want to remind you that you are still the body of Christ. We just don't go to church. We are the church. And it's in times like this, historically, where the church, when people are running from, they run to. So church, be the church. So may the Lord bless you. May the Lord continue to keep you. Would his face continue to shine upon you and be gracious to you. I leave you with the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ until we see each other again face to face. Make a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.